From NPR, it's Latino USA. You know this story. The little guy is really little, and the big guy is a superpower. And yet, there are always some who take up the fight, and then their sons follow.
I feel proud that on my own, by my own thoughts, and by my own actions of reading and informing myself, then I decided that this was the best option for Puerto Rico, and I know he didn't brainwash me.
A son, a father, but not the story you might imagine. Theirs is a story about the long struggle in Puerto Rico to be heard. This week, we listen to two generations of activist Puerto Ricanos, Rafael Cancel Miranda and his son, Rafa Cancel, and El Movimiento Estudiantil, an activist student movement is thriving in Puerto Rico. That's coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us.
This is Katie Davis with some notes on the news. These days, it's tempting to avoid the details from Mexico. Reading the reports, seeing the images is wrenching and hard to make sense of. People die there every day in brutal ways. Some are involved in drug cartels, many others are not. We want to turn now to reporter Monica Ortiz Oribe for an update on recent events. She lives on the border and follows this story.
28,000. That's the death toll of Mexicans killed in drug-related violence since 2006. The announcement was made this week during a security conference in Mexico City led by President Felipe Calderón.
Hoy estamos ante una nueva etapa del fenómeno de la inseguridad.
This is a new phase in the phenomenon of insecurity, the president said. We are experiencing an increase of violent crime in our country. July was a particularly frightening month for Mexico. A cell phone-triggered car bomb exploded in Ciudad Juarez on July 15th, killing 4 people. It was the first such attack in the ongoing drug war. Later, 8 severed heads were left along highways in the northern state of Durango, and more than 50 bodies were discovered in clandestine grave sites outside Monterrey. Then the people who report on the violence became targets again. 4 Mexican journalists were kidnapped by a criminal gang. 2 were rescued by federal police. The others were released. Last week, the Mexican military targeted and killed Ignacio Coronel Villarreal, a principal leader of the powerful Sinaloa cartel. In response to the vast insecurity in the country, President Calderón reiterated that he was against the legalization of drugs. However, he said he would be open to debating the subject. For Latino USA, I'm Monica Ortiz Uribe in El Paso, Texas.
This past month has been an especially dangerous time in the desert shared by the U.S. and Mexico. Immigrants searching for new ways to cross into the United States near Arizona have faced the brutal heat wave this summer, and many have died. In July, 59 bodies were found. That is the highest toll recorded since 2005. Emergency politicians. That's what the Colombian writer Gabriel Garcia Marquez calls artists in Latin America, in his beloved Caribbean. Writers, poets, and musicians are compelled to step up and help solve problems, to lead. Think of writer Václav Havel in Czechoslovakia in the Velvet Revolution, how the poet became president.
Not only am I running for president of Haiti, I'm being drafted by the people of Haiti. And what that means is it's my civil duty to serve my country.
In Haiti and here, the news surfaced that the hip-hop musician Wyclef Jean plans to run for president of Haiti. He was born there, but he grew up in the United States and has become active in his native country, especially since the earthquake, setting up a foundation to rebuild the rubble-strewn nation, to make it a place where people can thrive. And as students across the country pack up to go to college, there are many missing from the crowd, Latinos especially. A new poll shows that only 13% of Hispanics have a bachelor's degree or higher, compared with 30% of other Americans. This contradicts what Latinos say to pollsters. They say that 94% of them expect their children to go to college. This figure from the Nielsen Company and Stanford University is also larger than the general U.S. population. College hopes for Latinos run into serious roadblocks. First, the cost of college. Then the Latino commitment to family obligations, and often a lack of support to get through the long 4 years of study. And finally, a little-known U.S. soldier and fighter died this week in Los Angeles, Dwight Radcliffe. He served in the Air Force during Vietnam, but when he returned, he became homeless and struggled with substance abuse. Over time, Dwight Radcliffe had the grit and tenacity to get clean and stay clean. And then he helped create the United States Veterans Initiative to provide job training, counseling, and housing to vets and their families. Last month, the group broke ground on a new $34.9 million affordable housing development for low-income veterans. That's it for now. You can stay connected to Latino USA throughout the week online at latinousa.org. Or for news updates, just follow us on Twitter, where we're Latino USA, all one word. I'm Katie Davis in Washington.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. The woman wrote a note and placed it in her purse. She did not expect to live through the day, and she wanted to explain. It was 1954. She met three others in Washington, D.C., and they walked to the Capitol and entered the visitors' gallery. One held up the Puerto Rican flag. Another shouted, "Viva Puerto Rico!" And then they started shooting and shooting. 29 bullets in all. 5 congressmen were wounded.
In Washington, scenes of confusion naturally followed news of the shooting outrage. The 5 representatives injured in the affray were rushed to hospital. The assailants were Puerto Ricans, led by this woman, Mrs. Lolita Lebron, said to have shouted, "Free Puerto Rico!"
Lolita Lebron did not die that day. She was arrested. Police found the note in her purse, and it said, "For my country, I give my life." Most Americans didn't think much about Puerto Rico as a country. After all, it was and is under U.S. control. The gun attack gained the nationalists the attention to make their case for Puerto Rican independence. Lolita Lebron said that the United States was betraying its sacred principles by keeping Puerto Rico as a colony and denying Puerto Ricans their democratic rights. She never backed down from that position. She was active up until her death this week on August 1st in San Juan. Almost a quarter of Lolita Lebron's life was spent in prison for that attack on the Capitol. Rafael Cancel Miranda was by her side during the gun attack in 1954. He also spent 25 years in prison.
I'm fighting for the independence of my country, for the dignity of my people, for the dignity of my people. Maybe today is an obsolete word to talk about dignity, but for me that still means something. You are not a human being if you don't have dignity. And for me that's enough reason for me to feel good that I went to prison.
Rafael Cancel Miranda is now 80 years old and does not regret his actions. After their release from prison in 1979, he and Lolita Lebron stayed active, working to pierce that darkness they saw Puerto Ricans living in. They wanted to inspire a new generation to question their island's relationship to the United States. That new generation found its voice in 1999. For 60 years, the U.S. Navy had used a part of the island of Vieques as a bombing and training range. The residents of this pristine island, just a few miles offshore of the main island, had protested the bombing for decades, complaining of noise and pollution. But when a civilian worker was killed by a bomb on Vieques, people began to take direct action.
And that was the moment that sparked that triggered the civil disobedience movement.
That's Rafa Cancel. He is the son of Rafael Cancel Miranda. Rafa Cancel, helped start a civil disobedience campaign on Vieques. People camped on the beaches of the bombing range, a mass human shield against the bombing, unarmed civilians standing up to the U.S. Navy. They got arrested, but more always came. The elder Rafael Cancel Miranda and Lolita Lebron joined the protesters. But it was young Puerto Ricanos like Rafa, a college student at the time, who led the fight. It took 4 years, but Rafa says they eventually forced the U.S. Navy out of Vieques. While we were visiting Puerto Rico, Rafa Cancel loaded us into a speedboat and took us to the shores of the former bombing range in Vieques.
We would dock right here with all the supplies and then just walk along the shoreline, and then there was a walkway that we built up all the way.
That must have been extraordinary. I mean, you guys were literally on crossing into federal lands, into military lands. You had Navy officers carrying weapons. There was live ammunition
bombs.
They
were right there. We would see them.
Basically on their land saying, come get us off.
I know, but it's been always our land. They say that it's their land. And they were the one who limited the access to Puerto Ricans. But for us, it's always been Puerto Rican land. But yeah, it was intense. And now you don't see the bullets. But before, you would walk through bullets and bombs. Thousands of rounds on the floor. But thousands.
Right there on the beach, you mean?
Yeah, right there. There would be almost no sand. It was just bullets everywhere.
Rafa says that the Vieques protest was a school for him. It taught him how to organize, and it was there that he got the idea for the environmental law firm he founded and now operates, Puerto Rico's first and only environmental law firm. If his father was a different person, Rafa might have learned his politics at home at the dinner table. But Rafa remembers hearing almost nothing about his father's past, nor politics, mostly the talk was about baseball. In San Juan, we sat down with father and son, the elder Rafael Cancel Miranda and Rafa, to talk. It was the first time they'd given an interview together. Don Rafael says he waited for his son to question the relationship between the United States and Puerto Rico on his own. But for years, Rafa says he was just a regular American kid.
I grew up with cable TV, so I grew up either playing baseball, but when I was home, watching MTV, VH1, Nickelodeon. I grew up playing Nintendo, playing with my friends in the street, but I remember being a little kid, and I was one that idolized the United States. So I remember thinking, oh, we need the United States. I remember that as a little kid. Of course, I knew nothing about politics and I knew nothing about Puerto Rican history, because here one of the methods that they used to control us is not teaching who we are. So if you don't know who you are, then you're not proud of your history and you won't fight for your rights and for your people, because you don't have that love for what you don't know.
Rafa Sr., when you hear your son say that at one point in his life he thought that the United States was the best, and he idolized the United States, and maybe even thought statehood was the best. What goes on for you when you hear your son revealing this to you?
I understand. They control our sociopolitical, economical life. They control even our psyche. So I understand many of my people who think like they used to think at that young age, because we have been a colony for 112 years. And that affect your mind of any country, even United States, when they were a colony. Majority of people don't want to know anything about independence. You know, and many of them escaped to Canada, to England, because they want to be loyal to King George, you know? And they were afraid of independence in any country of the world. So I understood, but I knew that he was honest, and he always be the honest kid, he would go find out the truth. Because the lies go away, but the truth stay there. And sooner or later, he will find out that truth on his own.
If your son came to you and said, Papa, I'm going to do something and there may be a cost, I may be put in jail for what I'm about to do.
If you did the right thing?
Well, what would that mean if you were not able to see your son then? Would you...
If he fought for a right cause, for a just cause, like Vieques. Like Vieques. It was something that had to be done. If I tell him not do it, I'm asking him don't be a man. Because you are a man, when you think of something that is right, you go ahead. Otherwise, I'd be doing him a little hombrecito, a little man. If I tell him don't do what you think is right because you are afraid. Because the worst prison is the one that you have in your conscience. If you imprison his mind, imprison his soul, imprison his conscience, it is easy, you know, to look what is the easy way, but the easiest way sometimes is your death. You might be dead alive because you did not dare to be yourself. So I will tell him, hey, well, son, I'll be there with you. And I wish I was the one going there rather than you. You know, I wish he don't have to face that. But he had to do it for a good cause. For something cheap or for hurting someone or stealing. Not that. Or for drugs. Not that. But for loving his people. I'd be proud.
So, Rafa, when you you said that when you go out with your dad sometimes, it's really hard to get around because everybody wants to talk to him and everybody wants to shake his hand. Tell me what it's like to be out with your dad. I don't know if you've ever told him that. What you see when he's shaking everybody's hands.
I feel very proud. Whenever we go out anywhere, even the small cafeteria or the movie theater or walking around the park, people will stop their cars or just stop by to say hi and shake his hand. And of course I'm glad because I see the respect and admiration and also agradecidos, thankful for his life, for what he's done. I remember one time I saw a senator who's popular, the one's pro-Commonwealth, and where there was an activity, he went up to him. He's like, oh, Don Rafa, it says it's such an honor to meet you. You give me strength when I shake your hand. And then I was like, what is wrong with this guy? You are a senator who believes in a colony that my dad spent 25 years and a half in jail for. He was even risking his life to call the attention of the world that Puerto Rico is still a colony. And you believe in perpetuating this colony. And now you're saying that you give me strength and it's an honor. And I didn't understand. He understands. But for me,
there are things that you don't justify, but you could understand. I don't justify, but I could understand. You know, people know I don't fight for hate. I fight for love because I love my people. Because I wish everyone so delighted, let's say, talking in a religious way. But you know, I understand why so many work in the darkness. And I understand. He is my brother or my sister. I understand. I wish I never spent a day in prison. But more than that, I wish there was no need to do what I had to do and did it, and I feel good about. I wish we could all hug one another, embrace one another, be nice to one another. But I know not all people are nice. And sometimes you do have to do things that you would like you don't have to.
Rafael Cancel Miranda and his son Rafa speaking to us in San Juan. In Puerto Rico, Rafael Cancel Miranda is still seen as a national hero and an inspiration for young people. In a minute, El Movimiento Estudiantil, those young people push for democracy in Puerto Rico, and Rafa is in the mix, talking politics and teaching salsa. That's coming up on Latino USA. No se vayan. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. The dream that Lolita Lebron and Rafael Cancel Miranda acted on, that of an independent and free Puerto Rico, has not been realized. But the seeds that they planted have slowly grown over the years. And among young people, students, a movement has taken root that is pushing not necessarily for independence, but definitely for democracy and social change. The students at the University of Puerto Rico, UPR, went on strike this year. An act that might not seem that big of a deal on the surface. After all, students are protesting increases in tuition and funding cuts across the country. But this UPR strike was different. For 2 long months, students shut down and occupied 10 of the 11 campuses. And their protest came to represent the discontent felt across the island with a government viewed as out of touch. Puerto Ricans started showing up at the locked university gates, bringing food and water to the students holed up inside.
The people solidarized with the students. I was here all the days that we needed the form. When the police was hitting people, when the police wasn't letting the people give us food, give us water, the people of Puerto Rico was there in the gates. Not the students, no party, independence party, a popular party. No, it was people feeling that their acts were for the defense of the public education.
Waldemir Vélez Soto is a student at the University of Puerto Rico Law School. He was elected to represent other students in the National Assembly during the strike. For fellow law school student Regina Rodriguez, that democratic process was empowering.
I think people here are starting to realize that it doesn't have to be political, and unless I get up off my sofa, nothing's going to change. So that's one of the slogans that actually we have is democracy is la democracia se hace por acción y no sentado en el sofá. So democracy means getting in action, putting yourself in the action and not just sitting down on your sofa.
And that getting off the couch sentiment has taken root on the island. The Republican pro-statehood governor has been instituting massive cuts to social programs and slashing jobs. This in a place where unemployment is at 17%. For undergrad student Teresa Cordova, that's why the strike has been so important.
Are there opportunities for people my age? There are not, except college, except graduating from college and continuing studies and becoming a professional in whichever area you study. Those are the only opportunities. And we are seeing that they are being taken away by the government. So that's what we're fighting for the little opportunities we still have.
Teresa believes that their struggle will also benefit the poor in Puerto Rico. Close to 50% of the people here live below the poverty line.
They're just trying to survive. Their future is very gloomy, and it's not an easy future. And I think us who go to college have the responsibility to respond for those persons who cannot go to college and cannot afford even to fight for their rights because they have to fight for survival.
As U.S. citizens, the best and the brightest can easily leave in search of better opportunities on the U.S. mainland. And that has contributed to Puerto Rico's economic stagnation.
Before, I was thinking, okay, well, I'm going to finish my JD and I'll look for a job elsewhere because there isn't really work for me here.
Law student Regina Rodriguez now thinks that many students will be committed to staying in Puerto Rico.
I've definitely reaffirmed my commitment to helping the island, not just the university, but the island. So I can see myself possibly developing my own organization here, working with other organizations or even politicians. I don't see myself being a politician, but working with politicians to draft proposals for new bills and things like that would help instead of what's going on now, which is just kind of hindering the democratic process.
Where this movement of young people goes isn't clear. Some are for independence, but some of them aren't. One thing is clear, though. They experienced a direct democratic process through the strike, and they learned that by challenging the status quo, change can happen.
You know, unfortunately, because we live in this colonial state, it's kind of don't rock the boat because you might fall out. So it's that fear of not rocking the boat, but people saw now that we rocked the boat and we made it better. We sealed up some of the holes, and we're willing to keep rocking it in order to make sure that it doesn't sink, that it doesn't, you know, continue to gather more holes, to finish that analogy.
Well, as the old saying goes in Spanish, el pasado es prólogo. The past is prologue. In many ways, the strike at the UPR was a continuation of a student-led democracy movement that started a decade ago in Vieques, which was itself influenced by earlier activists like Lolita Lebrón and Rafael Cancel Miranda. The objectives and methods might have changed over the years, but one thread unifies the struggle.
They're just worrying about preserving culture or preserving the environment or fighting for social justice. It's different personalities for a single cause.
For Rafa Cancel, maintaining a strong Puerto Rican identity, separate from that of the United States, is key to the future of their movement. So, while he works as an environmental lawyer during the day, at night he promotes culture by teaching salsa.
For me, it is a statement that I am Rafael Cancel, Puerto Riqueño, and I dance salsa, and I'm teaching salsa, and I'm spreading the love for salsa, and I'm spreading my culture, and I'm spreading that love for Puerto Rico and our history and our culture. And of course, it's a political statement, because if you don't know your culture, then you won't love it. So for me, it's like, yeah, I'm not from the United States. I'm from Puerto Rico, and I dance salsa. I enjoy other types of music from the U.S. and from other countries. But salsa, Puerto Rico y Cuba, de ahí son y siempre serán.
De ahí son y siempre serán. Fitting words to describe the movement of social change that many young Puerto Ricans are embracing. This is where we are from, and we will always be here. Puerto Rico faces an uncertain future. Its status as a U.S. territory is unlikely to change anytime soon, and the economy is in disarray. But some on the island are pushing for positive change and are committed to staying in Puerto Rico for what they say is the long struggle that lies ahead. For this week, that's Latino USA. The program comes to you from The Futuro Media Group in cooperation with KUT Austin. Our documentary was produced in collaboration with Xochitl Dorsey and Bill Law of the BBC program Crossing Continents. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of EdUtopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. And Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And from LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at lendingtree.com or 800-555-TREE. This is NPR.